is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's hour number two of Live Bet Sunday right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got ourselves a tremendous hour that's going to be coming up for you as we're going to be joined in 30 minutes by one of our good friends as we're going to be talking a little bit of WNBA with Kelvin Wetzel. He does tremendous work over at CBS Sports along with HerHoopStats.com as we've got ourselves a big game coming up between the Minnesota Lynx and the Golden State Valkyrie. Right now, the Lynx have been your top team in the WNBA, 6-0. Once again, this Nafisa Collier right now deal with a little bit of an injury. Game time decision. I have been refreshing the old Twitter/X to try to see if we've got any sort of injury updates on her, because they said that she would go through warm-ups and then decide from there if she would be in this game or not, and it appears as though she is going to be returning to the hardwood. I just got that confirmed about a minute ago. She is going to be in this game. This line was hovering anywhere between about -12.5 to -11.5. Right now, if you're taking a look at what we're getting across the market, this is now shooting up to a 13. I'm even starting to see a 13.5 pop up here at Circa. So if you like the Minnesota Lynx, you probably want to jump on it right now, because this is a number that is very much on the move. And the reason why is Collier averaging north of 7.5 rebounds and 26.5 points per game. So we are certainly going to be needing to talk to Kelvin about that and so much more. Something else that we need to bring up. Just saw a yard ball out there in Los Angeles. Ben Rice goes deep for the New York Yankees. That is another home run for him. He's got a double figure amount for the season. 3-1. The Yankees are now in the lead. And for those that are wondering right now, what I'm sweating out is the under and the Yankees money line, which I would rather have the Yankees money line rather than the under, because I was able to get the under at more like -110 juice, and the Yankees I got at +160 personally. So yep, I would much rather take the Yankees rather than the under. We're going to hope for both, but right now in terms of the live number, Yankees are now live -215 on the money line. Total on this game, it is 10.5, shaded up to the over. I do think that things are going to start to normalize a little bit for the Yankees. Being able to get that home run from Ben Rice is very big, and you know that whenever that guy by the name of Aaron Judge comes up, there's always a little bit of a threat of them being able to get a deep ball there. But I do think that for the Yankees, like I was saying, Brian Yarbrough is actually a guy that I'm starting to trust in a little bit more. He's been able to find a bit more swing and miss stuff ever since going on over to New York, and he was utilized as really the first ever guy that was a boat guy for the Tampa Bay Rays many, many years ago. The just overall theory and the overall just implementation of the bulk guy, it was actually for Ryan Yarbrough of the Tampa Bay Rays back in like the 2018-2019 season. So very interesting that he's actually been much more trustworthy as a starter rather than a reliever. And if you're looking to dive in on that live under, you've now got it at an 11.5, because the Yankees just got another man on base. It looks like Austin Wells hit the ball and he was able to give you a single. So we've got a lot to dive in on there. We've got one other Major League Baseball game with the San Diego Padres looking to be able to close out against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Right now this game is 6-4, and this game is in the ninth inning. It is Robert Suarez, who's been a relatively rock solid closer all season long for the San Diego Padres, looking to be able to come on and looking to be able to hold it down. Padres right now -2,000 on the money line, and -20,000 on the money line. So yeah, it's looking not so great for the Pirates, as they've got, I believe, one out remaining. So that's not good if you're a fan of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and it looked like they were in full control. You give up a 4 spot in the seventh inning because the Pirates bullpen is not good. And that's something that you want to be taking a look at in terms of these teams in Major League Baseball. You've actually got a few trustworthy bullpens. I talked about the not-so-trustworthy ones in the previous segment. How about if we do hit upon the ones that you've been able to trust in? The San Francisco Giants have been very, very good in the bullpen. How about a 2.42 ERA? Like, everyone that they bring out of this Giants bullpen, aside from Jordan Hicks. Jordan Hicks was a failure of a starter. He's been a failure of a reliever. This guy is just lost in the shuffle, I think it's fair to say, but everyone not named Jordan Hicks has been pretty rock solid. He's been able to give you, it's been a team that's been able to give you a 2.42 ERA as a collective. The Mets have actually been very good in their bullpen. Edwin Diaz was a little bit shaky to start the season, but he's become a much more trustworthy bullpen piece. You've got Reed Garrett, who's been very good in this bullpen as well, and the long guys like Oscar Brazoben and company have been able to do a really good job of holding it down. And then you've got the Twins, the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Detroit Tigers. Three American League teams hovering right around about 3.24, 3.25 in terms of ERA. We remember what the Detroit Tigers were able to do towards back half of the season last year. If you date it back to the All-Star break of the 2024 season, they actually do have that top bullpen ERA. the Rays should come as no surprise. That's just what the Rays do. They've got a whole bunch of guys they're able to mix and match. You don't know what you're going to get out of some of these starters, but you know what you're going to be able to get out of that bullpen. And the Minnesota Twins have a guy by the name of Danny Kalumu who's yet to give up a run this season. They have really found it with Yoan Duran being one of the best closers in all baseball. Guys not named Griffin Jacks have been able to do a solid job there. And then this Padres team that we've got up here right now, they are number 7 in terms of their bullpen ERA. A lot of guys there you're able to mix and match with. So that's something that you do want to be taking into account, especially if you're a full game bettor like myself. And when you're betting baseball, you have to determine, all right, am I going to be a little bit more of a first 3 or a first 5 person, or am I going to be taking a look at the full game? If you're looking at the full game, dive in on these bullpens, dive in on sort of the rotations that they have. When one guy is pitching one day, you're probably going to have a different set of guys pitching the next day, things like that. Make sure that you're gauging guys that are pitching on back-to-backs. Know when the rest days are. I think that that is oh so important for knowing exactly what you're going to be able to get there. And then if you're someone that's a first five better, you're probably not diving in on the bullpens as much. Now, you do have some openers, and there are some guys that they just don't go very, very deep into games. Like, if you're looking at the slate for Monday, Richard Fitz only went 3 innings in his last start against the Boston Red Sox. If you're looking at a first five of the Red Sox, there's no guarantee that he's going to be able to fill a full 5 innings. So that's always something that you want to be mindful of if you're looking at Monday as well. Paul Blackburn is going to be making his first start of the season for the New York Mets. No guarantees that he's going to be going a full 5 innings in his start either. Meanwhile, if you're betting on like the Twins versus the Athletics, if either Luis Severino or Joe Ryan don't make a 5 innings, your first 5, if you bet either of those teams on the money line, is probably as good as toast. So you want to be just being able to gauge that. I think that that is a very important dynamic when it comes to being able to take a look at this great game of baseball. What else is very important is knowing a good deal when you see it. And my goodness, the deal that they are running here at Circa is top notch. It is their all in summer special. You get a 2-night stay for $400, which that's a rock solid deal. And it includes the taxes, it includes the resort fees, because trust me, out here in lovely Las Vegas, I have said this when I've done this read many times, and I will say it again, they get you on those resort fees. So you always want to make sure that you're avoiding those resort fees. If you take absolutely nothing else from this show, if you're going to Las Vegas, avoid resort fees. Like, trust me, you'll thank me for that one. But you also, on top of the $400 price for 2-night stay, you get a $100 dining credit, you get a $100 beverage credit, so there's $200 back in your pocket right there. You get a day bet at Stadium Swim as well. Just an absolutely impeccable deal. This runs all the way through the summer, so it goes through September 4th. You're able to book this at CircaLasVegas.com. If my parents are listening, dive in on this. Visit your son out here in lovely Las Vegas. See me host a show. So there's the shameless plug there, as it is Live Bet Sunday right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Oops Peterson holding it down tonight, and yep, we've got ourselves a very interesting sort of slate that we're going to be seeing a little bit later on tonight. Like I said, Collier going to be in the fold for the Minnesota Lynx. That game starts off in about 20 or so minutes. We were seeing that line going to a 13.5 in some spots. It's right now starting to normalize at a 13.5. So if you want to dive in there, you're able to know that Nafisa Collier going to be back out there on the floor for the Minnesota Lynx. We actually saw this very momentarily get to a 14 and stick back down to a 13.5. So we've got a little bit of line movement that's happening out there. But we also have to address some of the games that we're going to be getting for Sunday as well, for Monday as well, because we've only got one game that's going down for Sunday as the Padres. They did hold on. They got the job done against Pittsburgh Pirates 6-4. So if you took the Padres on the money line, and I wrote that up for the VSiN website, we got there. If you took the run line, all the better. You were able to get a plus number. And right now, in terms of the Yankees versus Dodgers, we have seen the Yankees put on another run. It is now 4-1. This game is in the top of the third inning as Yoshinobu Yamamoto not having himself a great time out there. Anthony Volpe was able to score on a Yamamoto wild pitch, which we have not seen a lack of command from Yamamoto too much. And this is the second time all season long for Yamamoto that he's given up north of 3 runs. So a little bit uncharacteristic of him. Gets out of the third inning now as he's able to get that final out. But so this is going to be 4-1 heading into the bottom of the third inning. And right now, with regards to that live total in this Yankees game, you were finding it a little bit earlier on at 11.5. We have returned back to 11.5 with the end of the top of the third inning. So right now, your live total, 11.5, Yankees on the money line, minus 298. But I do have to address this right now. Like, one of the big things I've been taking a look at is just the improfitability, for lack of a better term, of the Colorado Rockies. The Rockies this year are 3-28 on the road this year. So what this means is, if you have been betting the money line of the Colorado Rockies on the road, this is a number that you would need to be getting to break even. You need plus 933.3 to break even. Not even to profit on the Colorado Rockies money line. To break even, you need plus 933. What do you think that they're getting in terms of their money line on Monday, you may ask? Well, right now, they're a plus 154 going up against the Miami Marlins, who are a minus 185. Total on this game is 8. This is probably the first time you're ever going to hear this. Minus 185 is a gift. Like, my goodness, this Colorado Rockies team can't do anything right. Like, their pitching is terrible. Their offense is terrible. 2.4 runs per game away from home. Now, we'll give a little bit of credit where it is due. They signed Orlando Arcia. He hit a home run today. Yay, verily. And if Orlando Arcia is right now your shining beacon of light, that shows you that your organization is a wet match in a dark cave. That's all that needs to be said right there. And for the Miami Marlins, is Max Meyer going to be winning some sort of Cy Young award? No, his ERA is hovering right around about a 4-5. He's been giving you 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. He's got some good raw stuff. Needs to put it all together. The command has been a little bit wonky, but who on this Colorado Rockies team is going to be able to supply the boom for you? Like, you've got so many bad bats out there. It's not even funny. They've had to send, like, half their team to the minor league level. They're trying to just drum up a little bit of support in general. They're trying to just have survival of the fittest. You don't hit. You don't get outs. You're pretty much out of there. And they can't find anyone to get hits. They can't find anyone to get outs right now. So that tells you where the Rockies are at. That total of 8, I'm taking under because I don't think that the Colorado Rockies get more than 2 runs. So if we're going run line of Miami and we're going under, and coming up next, we're going to be taking a look at what we're getting in Yankees versus Dodgers here on the Sunday on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Great to be joined by this man on the Progressive Guest Line as we've got Kelvin Wetzel aboard. He does a tremendous job as a women's basketball hoops analyst over at CBS Sports. Also runs the website herhoopstats.com. And Kelvin, it's great to get you aboard. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you, Kelvin. And Kelvin, you do a such great job of being able to gauge the WNBA. And this was the first day of the Commissioner's Cup. So first things first, lay out for the people what this is, because I think a lot of people get confused as to the format of it.
Yeah, so if anyone's followed the NBA, it's a little bit like the Cup tournament, the in-season tournament there. The NBA actually stole the idea from the WNBA, who started it first. How it works is you play one game against each other opponent in your conference. So Eastern Conference teams play one game against every other Eastern Conference team and vice versa in the West. And then however the standings shake out at the end of all that, the top team in the East and the top team in the West face off in the Commissioner's Cup championship game later this month.
Oh, perfect. And as we know, that has oftentimes been the New York Liberty going up against the Las Vegas Aces. But this year, we've seen a little bit of shakeup. And the top team right now in the WNBA is the Minnesota Lynx. They're right now undefeated, and they're going to be hitting the floor in about 15 or so minutes. And Nafisa Collier, who has been really dominating the league, 26-plus points, 7-plus rebounds. She was a game-time decision for this game. She is now ruled in, and we've seen quite a bit of line movement. This was a line that, when I came on this show, was hovering right around about 11.5 to 12, with the Lynx being a favorite. Now up to 13.5 pretty much across the board. How do you gauge this game, and how big of a impact was Nafisa Collier being ruled in to this line, and do you think that's gone either too far or maybe not even far enough?
I don't think it's gone far enough. She is a really big impact, leading scorer in the league, MVP favorite. Obviously, the concern if you're going to bet the Lynx is, will they manage her minutes at all, ease her in, especially in a game like this where you're playing an expansion team and you're heavy favorites, and if you start to pull away, you have no reason to maybe push her in the fourth quarter. But I do think she impacts the line quite a bit, just her ability on both ends of the floor, not only the league's leading scorer, but reigning defensive player of the year, so she can do it on both sides. And with her on the floor, the Lynx are a totally different basketball team.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just incredible the impact that she's been able to have. You even go back to last year, she put together a really nice 2024-25 campaign and is very much doing so thus far this season. And it's been interesting to be able to gauge the WNBA thus far in terms of the totals as well, because we've actually seen things be a little bit underwhelming. The under rate is a little bit north of 53% to begin the season, and we've seen the total go down. It was actually an opener of a 162.5. Now we're finding it more around about a 158, and that was with Collier not being ruled in prior to that. How do you take a look at this game in terms of the total and just what we've been seeing league-wide with regards to WNBA having quite a few unders to begin the season?
Yeah, well, in terms of this game, I loved the under in the low 160s. I got down to 157.5 and now back up a little bit with Nafisa back in the lineup. I still like the under here, even at the current line and with Collier playing. I think this has the potential to turn into a really ugly game when you look at, obviously, the blowout factor and the Valkyries for an expansion team. Their defense is actually been pretty solid. A lot of those players they picked up in the expansion draft are decent defenders who really just have trouble scoring. So their offensive rating is the worst in the league. Defense has been okay. On the Lynx side, you have an elite defense, one of the best in the league, the defense that carried them to the finals and within minutes of a championship last year. That whole team came back, and you have that same defense this year. They're also playing almost the slowest pace in the league, the second slowest pace in the league. So I think this could turn into one of those really, really ugly under type of basketball games. I don't think the line has come down quite enough from where it was.
Yep, and then a big thing for the Valkyrie as well, the fact that Tiffany Hayes has only been able to play in two games this far this season, that's been hurting their cause on the offensive side of things as well. As Calvin Wetzel, he does a tremendous job gauging this great game of the WNBA over at CBS Sports, joining me right here on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And just saw a pair of games of the WNBA go final. I do want to get your thoughts on the Las Vegas Aces, because it is a bit of a new look team. As we know, fell a little bit short last year of a title after 2 years ago. They were able to be so dominant. No more Kelsey Plum, but they do find a way to be able to atone for their loss for the Seattle Storm about a week or so ago. They get the win here 75-70. How do you take a look at this Aces team, one that I feel like the market is having a little bit of a tough time gauging, because for the first time in a long time, it's a little bit of a different looking team?
It is, and you know, a lot of the players are still there, not all of them from those back-to-back championships, but it does look a lot different. They brought in Jewel Lloyd over the offseason, and you know, via that trade, she hasn't looked like her prime self. She had 10 points today in that win, and that's been somewhat of a typical game for her this year. After a couple of years ago leading the league in scoring, Asia Wilson is still her dominant MVP caliber self. But then you have Chelsea Gray, who is looking better than last year. After last year, she was coming off that injury, but still not quite at that level that she was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. They've had some defensive struggles, although today they really got it done on the defensive end, won that game 75-70. Today their struggles were more on the offensive end, but they did come away with a win and a small cover on that one on the -2.5 or -3.5. So if they did right the ship today. I still think there's some question marks with this team for sure, but there's obviously a lot of talent on this team, and they definitely have potential to be in it and maybe even holding the trophy when it's all said and done.
And you mentioned the talent there. This is a team that there's no question there's a lot of talent with. The New York Liberty absolutely lay waste to the Connecticut Sun today. They put up a 100 spot, 152. The total actually goes under because they only gave up the 52 points. But how do you take a look at the Liberty right now, who hit 19 threes here on Sunday and looked as dominant as you're going to find in the WNBA?
Well, the Liberty won the championship, and then what they did is they went out and they got better. They signed Natasha Cloud, who basically filled every hole that they had in terms of offensively, a point guard who can get downhill and put the ball on the floor and set people up. Defensively, just an absolute dog, someone to get after you on the perimeter. Really just everything that this team was missing, and they weren't missing much. When you win the championship, you're not missing much. But the little that they were missing is filled now with Natasha Cloud, and you're seeing it. They're undefeated. They are blowing teams out. Like you said, they won by 48 points today. They set a three-point record for threes in a game the other day, all-time WNBA record with 19. And then they did it again today, another 19 today. So that's how clinical this offense has been. Defensively, they're locking people up. They have Jonquel Jones and Breanna Stewart in the middle are just absolute monsters defensively. And then now that you have a perimeter defender in Cloud, they get really just come at you from all angles. So this is the team to beat, looking to repeat, but it is hard to repeat. And again, the Lynx are playing with a chip on their shoulders. So still a lot to be determined this season.
Yeah, and then we did see this game go final just a few minutes ago as well. The Phoenix Mercury, they were able to hold on against the Los Angeles Spark, this by a count of 85-80. And for the Sparks, they're starting off 2-6, albeit obviously they don't have their full allotment of players, as you still have the Cameron Brink injury that is certainly ailing the team. But how do you take a look at the Sparks, a team that in the offseason, they went out, they were able to get Kelsey Plum in the fold. And for Kelsey Plum, a little bit of a rough shooting day here on Sunday.
Yeah, Kelsey Plum has looked pretty good this season outside of today. But the Sparks in general, they're definitely going to be a lot better when Cameron Brink comes back. Like you said, still out from that ACL tear last year. So hopefully they get her back mid-season and ready to go. They don't have a lot of depth right now. They've been playing starters a lot of minutes. But the starters that they do have some talent with Kelsey Plum. Like we talked about, Odyssey Sims had a phenomenal game today, 32 points. In 37 minutes, Derek Ahambi and Azrae Stevens have been having solid seasons. And Sarah Ashley Barker has been surprisingly good as a rookie. So there is some talent here. I think there's a big gap between 7 and 8 in terms of the 13 teams in the league right now, and 8 teams make the playoffs. I do think the Sparks are kind of below that gap, but the Sparks have every chance to come out on top of that 8 through 13 type of group and make the playoffs as the 8 seed.
Yep, absolutely. And you've got 2 teams right now that they're not looking great in terms of Connecticut Sun, who are right now getting outscored by an average of 18 points per contest. And for the Dallas Wings, they've been close in a lot of these games, but currently 1-6 themselves. So we've got a lot to be able to parse through. We've got ourselves a lot of fun with regards to the Lynx game that's going to be coming up in a few minutes. And Calvin, I know that you do such a great job on the WNBA front end. Really appreciate the time today. Thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Great to be able to get Calvin aboard. He does a tremendous job being able to gauge the WNBA, and that's very nice that the WNBA has been putting out such a good product the last few years, because we are starting to get to the dog days of summer. We are now into the NBA and the Stanley Cup Finals, so we've only got 1 series left in the NBA. We've got only 1 series left in the NHL. You've obviously got yourself baseball action, but for those of you that don't like baseball, if you're looking for another option, the WNBA certainly has solid one. And we were talking about it with regards to line movement in terms of the Minnesota Lynx and the Golden State Valkyrie. Right now, it's between -13.5 to -14 that you're finding the Lynx as a favorite on. When I started out this show, this was more around 11-11.5 with Nafisa Collier being ruled in. That has been the big reason why. Let's take a look coming up next at what we are getting out there on the diamond, as the Yankees currently leading 4-1 in against the LA Dodgers, and Yoshinobu Yamamoto has been struggling. I'll tell you about that next right here on Live Bet Sunday on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Live Bet Sunday on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It was great to be joined by Calvin Wetzel, taking a look at the WNBA as we've got ourselves some, shall we say, sparse action with regards to this Sunday. But you know what? We do have ourselves a very interesting game that's right now happening out there in Los Angeles, as the Dodgers did not get what they were hoping for out of Yoshinobu Yamamoto. They've had to remove him after 3 2/3 innings, as his pitch count actually got to a 96. It is currently Anthony Banda in the game for the Dodgers. He was able to get the last out of the top of the fourth inning, so now we move to the bottom of the fourth. Right now, the New York Yankees are in firm control of this one, 4-1. They've been able to get a home run off the bat of Ben Rice to be able to help them out. And if you're taking a look at this live total right now, you're finding it right around a 10.5, juiced up a little bit to the over. Right now, that live money line, -330 on the Yankees. And I was mentioning this prior to the start of the show, Ryan Yarbrough is actually a guy that I'm starting to trust in a little bit more. Typically, when you find the Dodgers down like a run, 2 runs, even 3 runs like this, you're able to find good value on the money line. I would need to be getting a little bit more personally for it, and I actually do think that there might be a little bit of value in terms of live under if you could get the right pieces in from the LA Dodgers bullpen, as the long guys like Ben Kasparis along with Drake Dreher have actually been pretty rock solid. So those are 2 guys that you look at, and they're pretty trustworthy. Sub-3.5 ERAs, they've got some pretty good swing and miss stuff, so we shall see what happens on that front. But No doubt about it. We do have ourselves quite a bit of baseball action that we're going to be taking a look at for Sunday into Monday. And I do think that with regards to where we're at here in the baseball season, it is nice to be able to just catch your breath a little bit, to just take a look at, all right, what we have seen this far this season. And big reason why I've been diving in on quite a few unders is that's what it's been calling for right now in Major League Baseball. If you look at things through this Sunday, right now we've obviously got this game here pending. The under rate in baseball is at 53.5%. You've got 452 unders to 393 overs, and it's been relatively wild. Now, I've got friends and family out there in the great state of Wisconsin. I know that there are many of you out there in the northeast part of the country, and hasn't been as warm as you typically expect. Under here in lovely Las Vegas, it's actually been quite warm. I think it got up to like 107 yesterday, but I think that that's been impacting things just a little bit. And typically when you get into like early June, you're typically starting to get into the 70s, and we should be getting much more of that nationwide. I do think that that's going to lead to a little bit of an uptick with regards to some more of the deep balls in terms of what we're going to be getting a little bit more in terms of these totals. But I mean, it very much has been an underwhelming season, so that's something that you do want to be gauging. And right now, as long as we're on the topic of this Yankees versus LA Dodgers game, you are going to be having one of these teams having to bounce back and having to play on Monday. And I know that Scott Seidenberg, who typically does Live Bet Sunday, he does an absolutely amazing job gauging this. Now, he typically looks at the teams that travel a little bit more, going from Sunday Night Baseball to Monday. I think that it really holds true for both of these teams, whether you're traveling, whether you're not traveling. If you're playing a game on Sunday, the Sunday Night Baseball game, and you're playing on Monday, they do become a little bit more of a fade. But here's the issue that you've got with regards to the Sunday Night fade for Monday. You've also got one of my favorite systems that I take a look at. These guys coming off the injury list are very, very hard to trust. And Paul Blackburn is going to be walking the plank for the New York Mets on Monday, going against Dustin May of the LA Dodgers. And right now I'm seeing a few straight openers coming out for this game. Not everyone has it, because I think that there was a little bit of question mark as to whether or not Dustin May was actually going to be getting the start. I believe that that was confirmed prior to the start of Sunday Night Baseball, which is why we're starting to see this come onto the board. But for the LA Dodgers, most places you're finding them right around about a minus 150 favorite, some places as big of as a minus 160 favorite, and that plus number on the Mets more around about a plus 135 or so. Right now I'm seeing a total coming on of 9, and if you're looking to lay a run half with the LA Dodgers, you're going to be finding that at right around about a plus 125 or so. And hopefully we can get perhaps a little bit more of a plus number here. If we could get up to like a plus 130, I'd be feeling very comfortable with that Dodgers run line, even like a plus 128 or something like that. But for Paul Blackburn, he's had an ERA of a 4.66 last season. He spent half the season with the Athletics, spent half the season with the New York Mets. This is just something that you want to be taking a look at. These guys that they come back from their minor league rehab, and some of them look good, some of them look shaky, but pretty much everyone has a tough time being able to reacclimate to that big league mound. And like with Paul Blackburn, his minor league numbers weren't bad. Like, he's made like 6 or 7 appearances at the minor league level. He's been able to stretch himself out to be able to go 5+ innings. So I don't think that that's necessarily going to be the world's biggest issue, but it's going from pitching against guys in AA, AAA, and then going up to the major league level that I think a lot of people have struggles with. So these are the guys that you want to have a normal fade with. We can call it like tiers of fade. Like George Kirby, when he came off the injury list earlier this year, that's like your ultimate creme de la creme fade. Like with George Kirby, he was rocking north of a 7 ERA out there at the AAA affiliate, I believe the Tacoma Rainiers of the Seattle Mariners, and he was just getting absolutely lit ablaze. He wasn't having his normal command. He has come up to the big league level, and in his 2 starts, this is not George Kirby. Like, I don't know what happened to George Kirby, but he was abducted. They are throwing out there this imposter named George Kirby, and I'm wondering who the heck this guy is, because this is not the guy that we all know and love from this last few seasons with the Seattle Mariners, has very much struggled. That's something that you do want to be gauging with this, and right now seeing that total of 9, I'm very much going to be in on the over, because with the LA Dodgers, for as much as I do like Ryan Yarbrough, and right now he's doing his job. Right now we're in the bottom of the 4th inning. It's a 4-1 game, so Yarbrough is able to hold down the fort and just got out of the 4th inning. So still a 4-1 game. You're going to be entering in the top of the 5th there, so like him. But that said, for this Dodgers team, as we know, they are not held down easily. They're averaging, as a matter of fact, 6.6 runs per game at home. thus far this season. That's number one in all of baseball. And something else that you do want to be gauging as well, these teams that they're able to get to the starter a little bit more, and they're able to get to the bullpen a little bit more. And I have just gauged this with the LA Dodgers. I have a little bit of a tough time finding the exact splits for it, but for the LA Dodgers, it just feels like when you get into the bullpen, that's where this team just really starts to bang around these guys, and they do such a supreme job of being able to find a way to be able to move the line, get on base. And it just feels like sometimes with some of these starters that they go up against, they have a little bit of a rough time being able to get it going. But for this LA Dodgers team, like, man, I mean, they have been really good at being able to get to these bullpens. So you do want to be gauging that, and I think that you see quite a bit of that Mets bullpen, albeit it's a Mets bullpen that's currently number two in the big leagues in terms of bullpen ERA. Was mentioning it a little bit earlier in the hour. Guys like Oscar Berzoban, Reed Garrett, they've been relatively rock solid in this bullpen. And for the LA Dodgers, it's been pretty much a league average bullpen, with Yoshinobu Yamamoto not being able to go very deep in this game. I think that it helps your over in terms of Monday game even more, because with Dustin May, he has been able to give you about 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings, but one of his biggest issues is walks. He's giving up north of 3 walks per 9 innings. And keep in mind, this is a guy that has dealt with a lot of major surgery throughout his career. Like, he missed the entirety of the 2024 season. You know that the LA Dodgers would prefer to not have him go too far with regards to the start. So taking a look at this total, being able to get a 9, I would expect this to tick northward if you take a look at this a little bit later on during the night. So do want to be mentioning the value there. I've set my total at 9.7. This will be a part of my VSiN write-ups I do when that is posted over on the VSiN website. We're going to be taking a look at the over in this one. And then, like I said, with the Dodgers, set them at a minus 149 on the money line. If we could get like closer to about a plus 130 on that run line, as a lot of the initial openers I'm seeing at about a plus 125 would be willing to nibble there. So we'll see what we're going to get very early on. And if you want to bet smarter this football season, you want to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. You're able to get a full year for just $199. That saves you about $41 if you go month to month. Plus, you're going to get a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. That is a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter bets. Sign up now and get instant access to a little bit of everything that we do here at the network. My daily MLB write-ups, which we have not missed a day this season. I always pride myself on being pretty much the everyday Ray. When it comes to college basketball season, MLB, we do not miss a day. We're always going to have our write-ups as long as actually have games out there, which sometimes you don't, looking at you, the all-star break. But that said, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-26 NFL betting guide. That's going to be dropping July 1st, so you're going to be getting that in about 4 or so weeks. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Utilize the promo code of BOOK, B-O-O-K, to be able to sign up on this, VSIN.com/subscribe, as it is Live Bet Sunday right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, heading into the top of the fifth inning between the Yankees and the Dodgers, with that being a 4-1 lead. And I think that this is a really nice time to just be able to refresh and take a look at what we are getting league-wide in baseball, because we do have ourselves a lot of just interest in general. And I know that a lot of people have been, shall we say, a little bit disappointed by what we've been seeing on the LA Dodgers thus far, but I personally do disagree a little bit with that with the LA Dodgers. Certainly it hasn't necessarily been quite the start that you wanted, but I mean, considering that they had Blake Snell at the injured list, you still have a lot of bullpen pieces as well that are out of the fold. That's a big reason why the LA Dodgers have been about a league average bullpen in terms of ERA. Like, when you're dealing with Michael Kopech being on the injured list, they had Blake trying to go on the injured list. Now you're without Kirby Yates as well. That's a big reason why they're trying to mix and match, and that's a big reason why you've got Anthony Banda in this game right now. But even with that, having some of the nice finds that they've had have been pretty rock solid. And for the New York Yankees, they're right now that number two team out there in the American League. I think that this needs to be addressed a little bit more. The fact that the Detroit Tigers are the team that leads the American League right now in terms of wins feels like a team that's hiding a little bit in plain sight. And we've seen a lot of interest in the American League Central. So how about if we get into a little bit more broad baseball talk as we look at this Yankees versus Dodgers game right here on the flip side, as it is Live Bet Sunday with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're back here on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got ourselves a lot that is happening on the baseball front, and we'll get into the MLB talk that I was promising in a second, but I was just taking a look at this while we were in break. My goodness, I've mentioned this on the show a few times, and I'm going to mention it once again. We are really not seeing a lot of unders in terms of the college baseball NCAA tournament. If you're looking at this Oregon State versus St. Mary's game, it looked like there might be a little bit of pitching in this game. And then Oregon State scores a 9 spot in the sixth inning. It is now 14-2, so if you took the under there, it's already toasted thanks to that inning. UC Irvine versus Arizona State, that game has went over. 11-5 currently in the bottom of the seventh inning. Tennessee versus Wake Forest is about to fly over. 6-6, that game is in the top of the eighth inning. Right now you're in the top of the ninth between Utah Valley and Cal Poly. That game is at 6-6. Kentucky versus West Virginia has went over the total. 10-7. That game's in the top of the sixth inning. Right now, you might actually get an under in this Duke versus Oklahoma State game, 3-2 in the top of the ninth. But if Oklahoma State scores a run and you go to extra innings, you might have some gas can bullpen give up 10 runs in that game as well. Like, this is a big thing that I'm taking away from college baseball right now. You just can't trust in any of these unders. You really can't. Like, I just look all across college baseball, and maybe there's a team or two that actually does have a trustworthy bullpen. You spot for me the next trustworthy bullpen in college baseball, and it's going to be the first one that I have found. Like, my gosh, we have got all these games flying over. I mentioned this game before as well. Prior to it going down, Southern Miss versus Miami had a suspiciously low total of like 12, 12 and a half. You've got 11 runs up on the board, and it's the top of the third inning right now. So, my gosh, and I mean, we've had a little bit of hoopla here in college baseball right now. The fact that Vanderbilt lost to Wright State in an elimination game out there in the Nashville Regional, that was pretty stunning because Vanderbilt, they're one of the stalwarts of all of college baseball. They've put so many guys in the pros that it's not even funny, but I mean, you've got a few other teams that have been very interesting, like Clemson. They didn't necessarily live up to their billing. You had the Oklahoma versus Nebraska game. That was a game that was 17-1, so yeah, you've had yourself a lot of scoring in this one. Then NC State, I mentioned this. They had to play a game at noon. They had to turn around and play another game at 4. They're currently playing right now. They took down Stetson by a count of 17-12. That game took about 27 hours to finish because he had 29 runs in that game. And currently, by the way, 0-0 in the bottom of the second inning between Auburn and NC State. So, yay, verily, there might actually be a little bit of pitching in this game, but they have been very, very few and far between. And didn't see a lot of pitching out of Yoshinobu Yamamoto either, because right now for the LA Dodgers, they've got Anthony Banda on the mound. It is currently 4-1 with the Yankees in the lead on the Dodgers. You currently have a man on second and team threatening a little bit more. And if you're taking a look at this game live, I personally took a shot on the under and the Yankees money line. So if things hold the form and we continue to get runs, but we get the Yankees to win, it's out 5-1, by the way, as that is going to be a base knock in there, and that's going to drive in a run and a little bit of bobble out there in the outfield as DJ turned it up LeMahieu. Was able to give you a hit. That's something we haven't seen a lot of, but 5-1, Yankees are currently in the lead. That is a live total now of 11.5, but if this continues to hold the form, you're going to have the Yankees be able to get there on the money line, and let's hope so, because that was a nice plus number going into the day, and right now they are minus 1450 on the money line to be able to get it done. If you're looking at the live run line, that's minus 4.5. I would say if you're looking for a little bit of value, you could probably take plus 4.5 runs with the LA Dodgers and feel pretty good about that. But that said, this is not a game that I'm going to be messing with right now because we got the Yankees money line, feeling pretty good myself. And I think that that's something very big. No need to get overly greedy because you've got just such early games in terms of the baseball Sunday. You get your one Sunday night game and then you turn it forward to Monday. But something else that we do want to turn it forward to, I was mentioning this with the New York Yankees being, in my opinion, pretty rock solid out there in the American League this far this season. You've got one other team that has been a little bit better in the Detroit Tigers, but that AL Central I think is worth bringing up, and it's worth bringing up the balance of power in baseball right now as well as it is right now live at Sunday on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. And when it comes to just being balanced, when it comes to just having everything that you need for the winning edge, you want to do so with the Morning Bets Podcast. The VSiN Daily Morning Bets Podcast gives you in just 15 minutes everything that you need to know to start your betting day. You'll be able to get everything that you need to be able to make smarter wagers and stay ahead of the line moves all before your morning coffee is done. You're able to have this hosted by our whole team here at VSiN, the Daily Morning Bets podcast, is fast, focused, and it's built for bettors like you. Listen to the VSiN Morning Bets podcast wherever you hear podcasts, or get it on the VSiN Watch app. It's the sharpest way to start your day. The VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast, available wherever you hear podcasts. And if you want to throw in there as well a little bit of shameless plug, I talk a lot about baseball with regards to this show, and I will be moving forward with regards to a lot of the shows that I'll be doing in the next few weeks as well, because I also do the Baseball Betting Show podcast. I break down every single game every single day. I give you guys a side and a total on every single game. Sometimes that's money line, sometimes that's run line, but I get you guys all covered there along with the write-up. So it is very much a passion of mine, and something that I've been noticing in Major League Baseball is if you're taking a look at some of these specialty markets, if you're taking a look at some of these specialty things in general, there is quite a bit of a divide between the teams in the American League and the teams in the National League. And by that, I mean, when you take a look at the top teams in baseball, I would put the Detroit Tigers right now in the top five. Like, I really like what I've seen of this Detroit Tigers team. They're able to mix and match in the bullpen. The lineup is much better than it was a season ago. They had a lot of young prospects like Spencer Torkelson, Riley Green, Carey Carpenter coming into their own. They're tremendous. And the Yankees, by the way, they just scored another run. They're now up 6-1 here in the fifth inning, so they might be trying to hit this total all by themselves, as Anthony Banda is right now just out there to die at this point, so that's not great. And they're going to be going to Lou Trevino now in the bullpen. That's, you don't feel good when Lou Trevino's in the game in the fifth inning, to say the least. So yeah, that's not great right now for the LA Dodgers. But for the Yankees, I don't know if I put them in my top five in terms of overall baseball teams as of right now, because they do leave a little bit of something to be desired with their pitching. They're starting to creep that way, but I mean, it feels like all the top teams, aside from really the Yankees and the Detroit Tigers, I think that those are two very fair ones, just feels like they're all in the National League. Like, you just take a look at how much more stacked the National League is than the American League. That, I think, is something that is worth noting this year, because even the teams that are above 500 in the American League, like, you right now got the Cleveland Guardians at 32-26. That's a relatively good start to the season. The Minnesota Twins, the Kansas City Royals, these are teams that are above 500. They just really don't compare to some of the teams that you're finding in the National League. Like, in the National League, you've got the St. Louis Cardinals at 33-26. If you're pairing them up against a team like, let's say, the Kansas City Royals, I'd be taking the St. Louis Cardinals in that series, just because with the Cardinals, they've got much more offense. And that's right now what I'm noticing with regards to a lot of these American League teams. Aside from the New York Yankees, obviously, very good offense. And the Detroit Tigers, again, they're coming into their own with regards to the offense. It's been pretty rock solid there. That's what's been allowing me to feel a little bit more faith and a little bit better with regards to these National League teams. Like, you've got the New York Mets, who have some good bullpen pitching. The offense has been able to come into its own. The Chicago Cubs are right now leading the way in the National League, and you've got them leading all baseball in terms of run scoring. The LA Dodgers have been rock solid with their offense. You've been able to get quite a bit of offense as well, even out of a team like the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're currently 28-31. I think that they're going to be able to bounce back a little bit more, but all these top offenses, it feels like, are right now in the National League. And in the American League, you've got the Tigers, you've got the New York Yankees, and really outside of that, you're hard pressed for it. The Red Sox have been good with their offense, but now with Alex Bregman out of the fold, they haven't been able to hit to save their lives. Got the job done on Sunday, but still only scored 3 runs in that game. And the most intriguing division, in my opinion, in all baseball. How about what we've seen out of the American League Central this season? A team in the Minnesota Twins that was able to put together a really nice win streak a few weeks ago. They're now 7 games back of the Detroit Tigers. And the Tigers are -230 to be able to win this division currently at DraftKings. Again, this is not something that I personally am going to bet. I'm not going to lay -230 on a future. That actually seems like really good value right now, though. Like, I don't foresee the Cleveland Guardians being able to rise up and be able to challenge them. Their bullpen is not the same, and with the Cleveland Guardians, a very top-heavy lineup, to say the least. They're not necessarily imposing with regards to their starting pitching as well. The Minnesota Twins are starting to charge a little bit more, but they're still 13-19 on the road. And for the Kansas City Royals, this has been one of the most fascinating teams in all of baseball, because for the Kansas City Royals, right now they are the second lowest scoring team in all of baseball, tied for second lowest in terms of total runs scored. They and the Pittsburgh Pirates both have 194 runs. If you can guess who the lowest scoring team is, I'll give you a little bit of pat on the back. Yeah, it's the Colorado Rockies. But, I mean, they've got that sort of run scoring, but they've only allowed 201 runs thus far this season. That is actually number two in all baseball. The Mets have given up one fewer run, but, I mean, for the Kansas City Royals, already seven shutouts thus far this season. Very intriguing team to bet because they've been able to give you about 64-65% to the under. They played a pair of 1-0 games here on Saturday and Sunday. They lose the one here on Sunday, which, if you took the VSiN write-ups, we were able to get there on that under, as I thought that 8.5 was very much too high, and it was about 7.5 runs too high with Chris with the K Bubich getting the job done. But I think that this is a team that you want to be trying to extract a little bit of value on. Royals bullpen has been rock solid. The starters are really coming into their own. Michael Wacha had a really nice start on Saturday. Seth Lugo has been pretty solid for this team. Even Michael Lorenzen has been a little bit better, and offense allergic to being able to put the ball in play. So that's been a lot of fun. And what else is a lot of fun is trying to be able to turn things forward to Monday, and we'll do so next right here on Live Bet Sunday on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.